But thank you very kindly. You're right.
We have no judge.
There is no king in Israel. So everyone does whatever they like. Very much like the United States today. Sorry about that, a little politics. All right. I have to make an announcement. Last week I did questions, and I didn't hear it, but there was an answer come from Zoom. I believe it was Connor. And that is Connor. Hey, if you're on Zoom and you're answering the questions, let me know. Because these aren't just anything. This is Ghirardelli. I'm sorry. No, I haven't got it turned on yet. Yes. Okay. And I think I've got... Oh, yeah, I got another. So one of the chief characters, or Ruth is a chief character. Ruth's mother-in-law is Naomi. Her husband's name is Elimelech. From what tribe is Elimelech? Benjamin. No. I can say that because he's my cousin. What tribe is Elimelech from? Huh? Judah. Thank you very much. Yes. From the tribe of Judah. All right. I got to say one for the man in the back room, because he's important. And then I've got one for myself. How about that? No, that's the hate one. Yeah, that goes in the back room. All right. We're on Book of Ruth. So for real quick refresher, those husbands of you, those of you in here who are husbands, you're married to the love of your life, think for a moment when you first saw her. Think back to the time when you first met her. What impressed you about her? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you, Whitney. Boy, I need so many people.
I came to know the Lord late in life. You understand that? I was in my late 20s. So I didn't grow up going to church. I always heard, though, coming through the church, that the book of Song of Solomon, that's the romance, that's the ideal romance, that's a marvelous romance. In the book of Song of Solomon, what is it that Solomon the is impressed with? It's her form, right? It's all about her bodily form. And yeah, that's okay. That's all right. God made us that way. But what I'm impressed about in the book of Ruth is what Boaz sees in Ruth. This woman of character, a woman of commitment, a woman who is willing to suffer herself for her mother-in-law. You know, the husband is gone. Naomi's husband's gone. Ruth's husband is gone. And she's got this relationship, and it's a tenuous relationship of mother-in-law. Now, usually mother-in-laws are not so wonderful characters. I have a perfect mother-in-law. I tell you, I can't ask for better. But nevertheless, here we see what Boaz sees in Ruth. That's what we're going to see in chapter 2. What Boaz sees in the person and character of Ruth. So during our read through Ruth chapter 2, you know, Ruth chapter 1 was how we got in the predicament we're in. So that's all about the predicament was chapter 1, the predicament, how we got here. Okay, Ruth chapter 2, we start looking at the person of Ruth and the person of Boaz. Look at them both. You know, if you're here and you don't have a spouse, maybe you're looking for one like I looked for many, many years. Maybe you're thinking about, or a woman thinking about, look at this and look at the person of Ruth and her character. And look at the person of Boaz and his character. You know, as I studied this book, I was so impressed with Boaz. I was so impressed with Lord, make me like Boaz, responsible, caring person that Boaz is. Remember, this is a time of judges where the nation of Israel is all over the place. They're worshiping other gods. They're in all kinds of trouble and all this. They're not doing the will of God. No one knows the word of God, right? We're We're hiring prophets and priests for our family. That's what's going on in the book of Judges. But you see, this man just strikes out to me of the individual of Boaz. Hello. Yeah. Real quick on the judge. So everyone in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did whatever was right. And we see this is kind of a timeline. Joshua is entering into the land. Judges is about the turmoil and trouble of the land. Ruth, kind of intercedes between these two. Ruth is written about the time of David. We understand that because in the lineage that's given at the end of the book of Ruth, it ends with David. It doesn't end with Solomon. What was the, no candies for this. What is, in all the history of man, past and future, what is the greatest kingdom? The kingdom of God. The millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom will be the greatest kingdom ever in all of history. But setting that aside, what is the greatest kingdom on earth that will ever be other than the millennial? The kingdom of Solomon. God says that. God says that the greatest kingdom is the kingdom of Solomon. And the kingdom of Solomon is a kingdom of peace. Solomon knows great peace. Solomon knows peace because of his father. His father David was the one who brought peace to Israel by war. David was a man of war. Now, when David was king, where's he come from? Who is he? So that's why Ruth is written to explain David's lineage, how he is of the nation of Judah, how he comes by that. But most remarkable is this character in his lineage of the person of Ruth and the person of Boaz. So as we read, keep those in mind. Here's kind of the history line between it. There are about 300 years in the book of Judges. About 300 years in the book of Judges. Where it is kind of questionable. I think Ruth is happening sometime in the days of Midian, the Midian turmoil, and Gideon in all of that. So the predicament. Let's read together, if you will, the book of Ruth. Now Naomi had a kinsman, this is chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go into the field and glean among the ears of grain after one of those, one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come upon a portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in any other field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. at how you left your father and mother in the land of your birth and came to a people you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to seek refuge. And then she said to him, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like any of your maidservants. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. And when she arose to glean, Boaz commanded the servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from your bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave to Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close with my servants until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Okay, again, to watch and see the lineage going on here. This is from the book of Ruth, chapter 4. You go through all those names. I've kind of collected them here to understand the lineage a bit, and the lineage is very important in here. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi here. There's 12 sons of Jacob, Levi and Judah. Levi is the third, Judah is the fourth son. And then you see the lineage coming down. I've inserted an admin because he's in the book of Luke. If you go through the genealogy in Luke. Aaron and Moses, of course, come from the tribe of Levi. As you come down here, Aminadab, Elisheba. Elisheba is a daughter. I put her here because she marries Aaron in there. So probably one or two generations below Aaron. And then Nashon. Nashon is one of the leaders. That's what the L stands for. He is one of the leaders in the book of Judah. Actually, I think it's in the book of Numbers, where the 12 tribes all have their leaders come and meet with Moses. And so this is the way God's word gets to the tribes. Is God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to the leaders then take it. So Nashon is one of the leaders. He's of the tribe of Jacob, of Judah. So coming down from Nashon, you have Solomon. He's called Salma in Chronicles, I believe it is. He's married to Rahab. I believe that's Rahab the harlot, in the story of Jericho. Solomon has these three sons. I don't know if there's any more, but these three noticeable ones. Elimelech, so that's the one. Again, that's down the line of Judah. Down the line of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. God has given that Judah is the king line, the kingly line, the firstborn line of a nation now, even though he's not firstborn. A long story there. But Elimelech is along that line, and Elimelech is married to Naomi. There's a second brother, apparently, second born, and then Boaz appears to be the third born. This we get because this guy is the one Boaz is going to talk to when it comes to chapter 4. When it comes to chapter 4, I believe. But Elimelech, Naomi, Elimelech dies. After the death, we read that Mahlon and Chilion both take Moabite women as wives. They're in the land of Moab. And then Mahlon and Chilion die as well. So now all you have is Ruth as Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And that was the chapter 1 that we started off with and how that came about. But eventually we have Boaz, the third of this line from Solomon. Boaz, who ends up eventually marrying Ruth. You have Obed, Jesse, and David. And again, probably written during the time of David to explain this whole thing here. So David, as father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and grandmother. All right, that's enough. Now let's look into details in chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman. Very important to understand different words that are going on here. So I put in here 4129. That's the Hebrew, the Strong's number, if you will. 4129, and I have a little cheat sheet for these. Forgive me. So 4129 is Moda, is an intimate. This one's talking about a well-known. It's focused. This word is focused more on to know them very well. You know, I grew up in California. All my relatives were all in New England. So I didn't grow up knowing any of my cousins, any of my aunts and uncles at all. This would be someone they knew very well. Has a kinsman, a well-known kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth. He's a man of great wealth. Consider this. This is a time when other nations are coming in and stealing everything. But apparently a time of peace came about. Boaz gets to work and he's got this huge field. So Boaz is a man of great wealth, great power. He's of the family of Elimelech. Verse 1 is only a parenthesis to explain who Boaz is when he shows up here. Now, Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go. This is how they're going to make a living. They have nothing. They are completely empty. So Ruth takes action. Naomi's old. Ruth takes action. I'm really impressed in Ruth's dedication to take care of her mother-in-law. Remember this line here? So who is responsible to take care of parents? The children. And particularly the firstborn. Mahlon is the firstborn. Chilion is the secondborn. Ruth is married to the firstborn. These two die. Ruth takes up that mantle, as it were, of taking care of her grandmother, or of her mother-in-law. But let me go into the field and glean among the ears. Now, this is a law of God that when you have a field, you're not allowed to reap your harvest to the edges. Now, God doesn't say what edges mean. So the Jews come along and they make up just how far the edge is, you know. But that's not what God was saying to the owner, don't reap your field to the edges. Why? Because that's for the poor. That's for the orphan. That's for the widows. You allow them to come in and glean. It's not you collect them, bundle them up, hand it to them, or take it over by their house. Notice that? No, you come out and you glean. It's in the heat of the sun. You're still gleaning. That leaves respect to these people. But of course, the nation of Israel is not obeying the word of God very well. And so one of the things you see in this chapter, remember, don't go from my field to another field because someone could beat you up. And indeed, Boaz says to his servant, don't you lay a finger on her. Don't you lay a finger on her. So Ruth goes to glean, and Naomi says, yes, go. And she departed and went to glean. Now, verse 1 does not suggest that Naomi is saying, find Boaz and glean from him. No, it is a complete happen chance. And the word of God even says that. And it so happened, she came upon the portion of field belonging to Boaz. Now, the way this thing worked, what city is this in? Bethlehem. Okay. And Boaz lives in Bethlehem. Naomi apparently lives in Bethlehem, but you go out into the fields and the fields are portioned out. And this is a portion that belongs to Boaz. So she ends up coming to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, a common phrase, may the Lord be with you. You know, you need protection out there in the field. All these sickles going around. Yeah. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Okay. And Boaz says to his servant in charge of the reapers, whose young woman, underline that word young. Ruth is young. She's still a young woman, probably very attractive. Whose young woman is this? And the servant in charge, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. It's like you got to underline every time it says Moab. It really lays it in there. She is not of the nation of Israel. And that's one of the things that really impresses me. During this time, you know, you can't find a godly woman at all in the nation of Israel. But here's this one out here, a foreigner who shows more godliness than all the women of the land. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from morning until now. Now is probably around noontime because they're going to have a meal in a little bit, which appears to be kind of a lunch, a mid-morning meal. She's been sitting in the house a little while. The impression here is this woman is work. This woman is work. She's been out there gleaning all morning, from early morning, heat of the sun. Now she's come in and she's relaxing. The house here is probably a small hovel, a very small thing to take some protection from the shade, probably where they're going to end up having their meal. She's a young Moabite woman returned from Naomi. This is probably how Boaz learns of her. So what you see in this next one, listen carefully, my daughter, Boaz saying to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter, do not go out and glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. A maid there is female. There are probably some women, maybe partners with the reapers. The reapers is definitely in the masculine. But here are the maids out there also. So she's not in with a bunch of guys. She's not just rubbing shoulders with a bunch of guys. There's some maids out there also. Let your eyes be on this field, which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded my servants not to touch you. Even going further, when you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. You see the compassion of Boaz on this woman, how he's caring for her beyond what the law says, beyond what the law says. And she falls on her face, bowing to the ground and says to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Which reminds me of a beautiful hymn that Tom introduced me to on his trombone during Singspiration. Why? Why? What a beautiful tune. Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of the likes of me as I am not of the nation of Israel? You know, over the years, I've heard all kinds of things preached, and one of the most damning things I've ever heard, and it always sets my hairs on ends, is this, that Israel is God's chosen people. You know, Israel is a picture. God chose Israel, and it's strictly in the physical. Strictly in the physical, God chose Israel to become a picture for the world. But always, always has God desired all men. He doesn't love Israel more than others, because that would mean he recognizes flesh over others. No, that's not it. It is not that God loves Israel more. In this world, as he's showing this picture, he's showing Israel as a type of those, as a picture of those who are truly his people, those who received Jesus as Savior. Unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying that to one of the hyper-Jews. To one of the hyper-Jews. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That was to Nicodemus. Right? A Jew of Jews, as it were. I don't care what church you go to. Doesn't matter what church you go to. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. God loves you. God desires. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Because the gate is broad and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And many are they that travel thereon. But the gate is narrow and the way is difficult, is pressed, that leads to life. And few are they. It's not about what church you go to. It's not about what nationality. It's not about your mom and dad. It's you and God and what he has done for you. Let your eyes be on this field. And then she falls down, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor? This is a natural response of those who recognize the grace being shown. Beloved, this is why I come breaking of bread. Yeah, I could sit out there with you. I could listen to some person speak and all that. But breaking of bread is a time I, little old me, can stand up and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. That's what he wants to hear, far better than any of the flancy words. A soul appreciating. Look at Ruth's response to the grace shown Boaz. Lord, may I never, ever lose appreciation of your salvation for me. I'd rather a bus hit me before I ever grow stale. Beloved, if breaking of bread is stale to you, and I'm talking to the young people, I'm talking to the old people, if it becomes stale to you, where's your heart on the appreciation of what all God has done for you? Yeah. You don't have to say anything. To the ladies here, you are a participant as much as any of the men. You are. Enough on that. Do come. And Boaz replied, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and mother and the land of birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward you, and may your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come. Seek refuge. That's me. That's me. That's you. And then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Notice something about Boaz here and all that Boaz does for her. At mealtime, he says, come here and eat of the bread and dip. That's not required by law. That's grace upon grace. So she sat beside the reapers. He served her roasted grain. Roasted grain is used as, it's like a dessert. It's a delicacy. It's a marvelous treat. Maybe you like those loaf bars. Something like that. But that's kind of what that is. Roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied. Underline that word satisfied, because it's going to show up again in verse 18. She was satisfied here. Now she picks up and she rises again, probably from this mealtime, because we don't see her return back to Naomi until a little bit later. So it's when she goes back to Naomi. So she rises again and does some more gleaning. And Boaz commands the servant, let her glean even among the sheaves. See, that's not required. That's not required. Even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Now again, on top of that, you also shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean those. You know, this is grace upon grace. Look at this man, Boaz. You know, it reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, what did you learn from the Good Samaritan? The story goes of the Good Samaritan is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? You know, who do I have to include as my neighbor? Jesus gives this story. Who do I have to include as my, do I have to include the guy down there? Do I have to include? And Jesus says, no, you're looking at it all wrong, Skip. Looking at it all wrong. You shouldn't be looking at who can you exclude, but who can you include? That's the purpose of the Good Samaritan, is can I include him as my neighbor? How about the guy on the other block? How about those people in Africa? Can I include them as my neighbor? You know, that's supposed to be my attitude. And Boaz shows this. He was doing the law. No, no, no. The abundance of his grace speaks to me. Would that I had this kind of heart, Lord. Would that I had Boaz's heart. That's what impresses me. Again, I'm male. I'm looking at Boaz. Responsibility. I'm doing the work, lad. I'm doing the work. No, Skip. You know, above and beyond, are you willing? Lord, change my heart. You shall also purposely pull out that she may glean, and do not rebuke. That's what was common. If I'm only doing what's common, then where's my heart for the Lord? So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah of barley is about 6 gallons. Think about your 1 gallon milk jug. 6 of those. It's a large amount. An ephah. Cause she's beating it out. This is just the raw grain now. And she took it up and went to the city. That would be Bethlehem. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took out and gave to Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. She was satisfied then. So basically, what she has gleaned, she's giving to Naomi because Boaz satisfied her. And her mother-in-law saw and said to her, where did you glean today? This is incredible. This isn't just collecting tin cans at the side of the road. You know, this is abundance. Where in the world did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. See, it's obvious. This guy has really left a broad sweep of his field to let you reap, lest you glean. So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, the name of the man with whom I worked is Boaz. See, she doesn't know anything about Boaz. Naomi has to tell her. Naomi said, may he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness from the living and the dead. I asked Karen this question. Who's the dead? Is it Elimelech? Is it Mahlon? How's his kindness to them? So, I'm thinking she's talking about, we're just as good as dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. Now here, the word relative, 7138. Qarob is near at hand. That's what it's focused on, is near at hand. He is one who is near, but it's not the word that's key. The next one. He is one of our closest relatives. This is 1350 Gaal. Gaal is the legal term for the closest relative. This is the legal term, what you call the kinsman redeemer. It's used to mean redeem. So when you see the word redeem, particularly later in this chapter, this one is full of the word redeem. This is the word. Gaal. Gaal. What? G-A-A-L. Gaal. Not G-A-L-L. G-A-A-L. It's also used for the avenger. So when you read in the law about the avenger of death, same meaning. It's a close relative, the very next relative. That's why there has to be that second born brother in that lineage. But she's saying he is one of our closest relatives. He's not the closest, as we'll find later. So Ruth then says, to Naomi, furthermore, he said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter. Yep. Thank you. That's my phone. Let me know. Oh, I got to close up fast. It is good that you go out with his maids so others do not fall upon you. This is the typical of the land today. They'll fall upon you. They'll beat you because they don't like you taken from their product. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest. So that's about, I think it was 4 months, because you do the barley harvest and then you do the wheat harvest. And she lived there with her mother-in-law. Now, I wanted to end a little bit early because I wanted to open it up to the men here. What do you see? What do you see? It's kind of like a Bible study, right? What are you impressed with of Ruth, of Boaz? What have you seen in this that draws you? I'm sorry. Am I supposed to be standing? There's no mark on it. I'm sorry. I wanted you to see this. But what do you see? What's your takeaway? I normally give my takeaways. I'm giving you the opportunity. What's your takeaway? In other words, don't come here to listen to some guy like me yammer on and on and on. God's speaking to you like he's speaking to me. And that's what I want you to come here for. Whoever the monkey is up here, whatever he says, what is God saying to your heart? And how are you going to change your life from what God has spoken to you today? Because that's the purpose of study. So, and it's not rhetorical. In other words, you're supposed to answer. Anyone, what has God shared, put upon you with the person of Boaz? Go ahead, Will.
What man took notice of you? I was just thinking about that as an analogy for God's grace in our lives. If people see what we have, they would see the same thing. Not that what you got to do, but just grace. Okay, someone took notice of you. Someone helped you out. Someone gave you this, because you couldn't have gone about this on your own. It's a beautiful picture of grace.
What else? A couple more.
Paul just started out as a practical. So he was more than fair with her. If you want to call it good, he was more than fair with her. And that's how she started to see how kind of God
is. Didn't have
so it's not necessarily even, you know, put it today. You know, he didn't get out there and start witnessing to her. He didn't rescue her out of the problems that she had.
Thank you. God wants that in my heart. God wants a heart that is yielded to him. What more can I do? What more can I do? Not, have I done enough yet? One more.
I see God working behind the scenes, but Ruth didn't know Boaz, and yet God was working behind the scenes. She didn't just happen by there. She went where he was directing her, even though she didn't really know. Boaz, you know, took notice of her, was kind of her. God working behind the scenes. That's with us sometimes. We can't see purpose and whatever's going on, but God is working behind the scenes, you know, work all things to the good.
And we had, as a young man, I remember, young man in Christ, I come to
the Lord. I was serving at the church. I was always looking for Mrs. Denny. Everywhere I was going, you know, is she going to be Mrs. Denny? Is she going to be Mrs. Denny? You know, Boaz isn't looking at Ruth as a future bride at all. You know, Boaz is an old man, by the way. Boaz is an old man. And he hasn't got a wife, apparently. That's remarkable to me. That's what I meant by he's looking at all the women of the nation of Israel going, are you kidding me? You know, and now, what does he see in Ruth? A gorgeous woman. Who was she? No. Look at this woman's dedication to her mother-in-law. Her dedication, her heart. And the person of Boaz. She's not looking for Boaz as a husband. All she's looking for is to take care of her mother-in-law. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you so much again for adding this marvelous book to your word to show me, if anyone else, show me a real heart of compassion, a real heart of dedication, as one has shared, Lord, to be about things, but always with looking for ways of showing grace and mercy upon that you may be glorified. Naomi glorifies you for Boaz's sake. I pray that, Lord, you may use your servant in ways I can't see, but to bring you glory and honor. And we give you all thanks in Jesus' name.